I call the Energy Finance and Policy Division to order. In spite of appearances, we actually do have a quorum with members scattered all over the building and other hearings as well, but they have checked in. With that, Representative Knuth, have you had an opportunity to peruse the minutes of the last meeting?
Yes.
If you would be so kind as to move their adoption, we'd like to get that order of business out of the way.
So moved.
Representative Knuth moves approval of the minutes from March 17th. Are there any additions or corrections? Seeing none, all those in favor of their adoption, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Minutes are adopted. Representative Eakin. Representative Eakin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. If someone could move House File 3366, I would appreciate that.
Representative Eakin, I will move House File 3366 be recommended to pass and be referred to the Committee on Finance.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. And this bill, it deals with PVC piping that has been put in to residential locations. This PVC piping has created a problem. Many of these PVC pipes have given way and resulted in spills, and it's an expensive spill to clean up, and the spills are cleaned up through the petrol fund. This just authorizes the petrol fund to be used to replace that PVC piping in order to avoid the spills in the first place, which is much more cost effective. And it does have the approval of the PCA. They had expressed concerns originally about the original version, and we put in that the reimbursement may not exceed $250 per residential location. It's estimated, I think, that it would be about $400 probably to replace it, but the $250 then would be an incentive for them to replace these pipes. And it also says that the maximum expenditure of the fund may not exceed $1,500,000, and that was acceptable to the DCA in order to ensure that expenditures would not be excessive. But in the end, we expect that it may actually save money for the Petra Fund because it will avoid the spills that cost much more to clean up after the fact. So, and with that, I'll answer any questions members may have.
Are there questions from members? Members, I would just point out about this bill that the Petro Fund is intended for cleanups. I don't think that this particular this particular problem has been anticipated or has emerged until fairly recently. It would seem that this is a use for which the fund that is being called upon is actually intended. I think that it's something that does have a lot of potential for problems down the road, and hopefully this would help in ameliorating some of those.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Hoppe.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And maybe I'm looking for a problem that isn't here, and I think this is a good bill and I'm going to vote for it and I think it's a good idea, but are we going to get in trouble because we're preventing and using petrol fund dollars for that instead of cleanup? I mean, it's a good idea and I think we should be doing it, but I mean, are we going to get hung up on a technicality?
Representative Eakin?
I hope we're not, but
Representative Hoppe, if you could, I was just visiting with Mr. Krogman here. You were talking about technicality. What is the technicality you're concerned about?
I don't know. I think this is a good idea. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to make sure that we don't go forward with this and somebody says, well, technically you can't do this because the petrol fund is supposed to be used only for cleanup. And I don't know that anybody's going to say that. I just don't want to. I mean, if we think that might be a problem, we should figure out a way to work around that right now, because I think this is a good idea and a good bill. So.
Okay.
Representative Eason.
And thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Hoppe. I am aware of no technicality that it would violate. My guess is that if the legislation allows for this, it should be acceptable. And I don't know if there's anyone else that could provide any advice on that, but I would guess that the PCA or the PETRA board would have, PETRA fund board would have expressed concern about that if that was a factor.
Representative Allison. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Egan. And maybe Mr. Krogan could address this as to how is this worded so we don't get into a situation where every type of preventive measure that somebody should be taking on their own doesn't automatically, you know, in the future start to come to the petrol fund for things that should just be incorporated in. The reason is because I recognize the technologies that may be available, newer types of technologies and underground tanks and so forth. And how are we going to say, well, every time somebody upgrades, you know, that they won't come to the petrol fund, even though it should be just a part of their ongoing business activity.
Mr. Krogman.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Bob Krogman. I'm with the Minnesota Petroleum Marketers Association. Representative Osmond, how we would make sure that that doesn't happen is what's going on here today. As Representative Eakin said, it would have to be legislatively approved for those types of programs, and they have been, the fund has been utilized for programs like this before, but it would have to be approved by the legislature through the committee process. Like the Pollution Control Agency has a new set of rules that requires after a certain date any tank installed has to be double walled. If somebody were to try to make the argument that the PETRA fund should reimburse for that installation, they could get nowhere unless the legislature agreed and the change was passed and signed by the governor.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't really have an answer for it off the top of my head right now, but I think two things should be noted here in committee so that one is the change or the expenditure we're talking about is for residential, not for commercial operation. And then we may need to be looking for some comfort language to let people know that this is because of certain circumstances or whatever that has brought this up, and that it really doesn't say that every time somebody needs some maintenance on their fuel oil tank that they should then come to the legislature to get authorization for money for their ongoing maintenance. And that I don't know that I'm ready to address that today, but I think we'll have other opportunities to look at that.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Osmond, yeah, I know what you mean. I thought that was addressed with the specific language that says PVC fill pipe. That excludes vent pipes. Excludes legs on the tank or anything like that. We were looking at a very specific application. Now, if there's something else, yeah, you bet. I know what you're saying, and we thought that might be narrow enough.
Yes. Representative Osmond.
And Mr. Chair, Mr. Krogman, I believe it is narrow enough for this particular piece of legislation. I think, though, that it might be appropriate for us to outline the uniqueness of how this PVC got there. And there was something out of the ordinary. We had a accepted practice in place, and then we found out that it's causing a problem or a danger. Now we need to take fast action. We need people to be proactive on this thing. We may need to have just a little bit of language to make that clear to future legislators that that's what we were trying to accomplish here, and that we were not trying to say that anytime you have a maintenance problem or an upgrade that needs to take place in your equipment, you should come to the legislature and get authorization for the petrol fund to pay for it. This is very unique, and we don't really address that uniqueness in the words on the paper today, but I think we can do it, and it's a matter of crafting something. It doesn't take up a lot of space.
Representative Osmond, I expect that Representative Deacon would be happy to consult with you about that. Bill is going to finance. There's an opportunity if you find some way of incorporating that very legitimate concern. I think it would
be receptive to that. Sure, I see Mr. Eliff already thinking about it, and if he has a proposal, we may want to consider today. Not that quick. Okay. Thank you.
And then, Mr. Chairman, Representative Osmond, thank you for bringing that. And thank you for bringing that to our attention, and certainly be willing to work with you on that. And this is a unique situation, and probably should be specified that that is the case here. So, thank you.
Is there any further discussion to the Eakin Bill, House File 3366? Seeing none, the Chair will renew his motion that House File 3366 be recommended to pass and re-referred to Committee on Finance. All those in favor of that motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Motion fails. Representative
Eakin. Chair and members.
Representative Johnson. We have House File 2351 first on the agenda. Representative Johnson, if you want to take that one first.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move this bill to Finance.
Very well. Representative Johnson, to the bill.
Members, some of you might be familiar with it, but those who aren't, what this bill does is directs a study to be conducted of the impact of legislation in at least three states that have enacted statewide video franchising. And as a way of brief background, currently under Minnesota Statute 238, companies that provide cable TV are franchised exclusively by municipalities. And this bill, originally introduced last year, sought to create a statewide system of franchising cable TV. We've met with interested stakeholders and folks who are interested in this issue over the interim. And focused on some of the major issues that it would impact, including how local franchises currently would be treated, franchise fees, tag issues, INET, and so forth. And that during these discussions, references are made to other states who have implemented statewide franchising and how that has gone. And some participants argued that statewide franchising led to increased competition, more access, lower prices, and other folks argued that the opposite was true. So the purpose of this issue simply is to get to the bottom of some of these disputed issues so we can have some good information to work with as this matter comes before us.
Representative Johnson, I think the reason that this bill is moving the way it is because this committee does have the Commerce Department's budget in its purview, but there doesn't seem to be a fiscal note with this bill. Can you address the fiscal implications of the bill? I mean, there is a modest fiscal note.
There's a modest fiscal note, Mr. Chair, of $85,000, which would be used then to contract for a study of that is referenced in the bill itself. So, yes, that's the plan and the tack that you described.
And Representative Johnson, where's the $85,000 coming from?
That remains to be seen, Mr. Chair. I'm not entirely clear we're going to be able to access that fund, but.
Representative Johnson, we may be carrying that in our finance bill. I think we will have that discussion about funding source for this when we take up the finance bill next week. So we will send this bill to finance for the discussion, but this may be included in our finance bill when we put it together next week.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Is there any further discussion to the 2, House File 2351. Seeing none, Representative Johnson renews his motion that House File 2351 be recommended to pass and referred to the Committee on Finance. All those in favor of that motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Motion prevails. Representative Johnson, House File 2959.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move this bill to Finance as well.
Representative Johnson moves House File 2959 for consideration through the bill. Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a broadband mapping project, and one of the first steps, just the way of background, is providing broadband service to all Minnesotans, or as many as we possibly can anyway, is to map the current broadband service throughout the state, and that's what this bill aims to do. HF 2959 funds a project that will produce a comprehensive statewide inventory and mapping of existing broadband service and capability. There's a broadband task force bill that's moving forward as well, and I think this bill will provide the kind of base information necessary to give a thoughtful overview of what's needed in terms of state resources and planning for broadband throughout the state.
Members, I should say that I have I serve on Chairman Johnson's telecommunications division and sat in on the mapping proposals that this bill addresses, and I think that this is a very important first step to providing the kind of service statewide that I think everyone would agree is both desirable and necessary. Representative Johnson, I applaud you bringing this forward, and I think it's something that is, certainly as time has come, if we're not we're late in doing this. Such progressive states as Kentucky and Tennessee and Missouri are already well engaged in the process and not particularly comfortable to probably any of us to think that we have to work to catch up to Kentucky, but here we are. Is there any discussion to the bill? Members, this does have a finance implication, as we see in Section 2. It has no impact on the general fund. Comes out of a dedicated fund, and we will likely be carrying this bill in our finance bill as well. But since we don't have all of the finance implications resolved at this point, we are moving it separately so that it doesn't necessarily get stalled in the omnibus finance bill negotiation. Any discussion to the bill? Seeing none, Representative Johnson renews his motion that House File 2959 be recommended to pass and referred to the Committee on Finance. All those in favor of that motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Motion prevails.
Thank
Representative
you, Mr.
Johnson. Right.
think I have that.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I would move House File 3661 to be before the committee for consideration at this time. And Madam Chair, the first order of business would be to adopt or delete all amendments, which I believe members have before them. It's the H-3661 DE1 amendment. I would move that adoption of that amendment, Madam Chair.
Representative Hilby, I'm sorry, I was just having a conversation. If you would, you'd like to move your bill, would you like to incorporate the DE1 amendment?
Madam Chair, I think we need to vote on the DE1 amendment, but I would move adoption of that amendment.
Sorry, Representative Hilby, we're having a conversation up here. You did move your bill already, did you not?
I did, yes. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Does everyone have the DE1 amendment? Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of adopting the DE1 amendment, say aye.
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 All those opposed? Motion to bail. Representative Hilty, to your bill.
Madam Chair, yes, members, to briefly peruse the original bill and the amendment, you'll see that the amendment significantly reduces the scope of the bill. This bill was one that was sent to me by its Senate author, Senator Pretner Solon, who had envisioned a somewhat more ambitious undertaking than the bill in its amended form represents. But the intent is the same, which is to assure that the legislature does receive reports on progress that's being made to meet our greenhouse gas reduction goals. What the bill does is simply ask for those reports from the Commissioner of Commerce and the Pollution Control Agency. Pardon me. There are in Subdivision 5 certain, I think, fairly straightforward principles that we ask to be incorporated in the. Oh, I'm sorry, I was looking at the wrong. At the wrong copy. We don't have Subdivision 5 any longer, so principles have been dropped. Madam Chair, I think that we may need to make a couple of technical adjustments to the amendment, if Mr. Eloff would want to address that.
Mr. Eloff.
I believe we had a failure to communicate here, Mr. Chair. I think there are two DE1 amendments floating around.
Right.
one of which...
I picked where I went up to begin with.
One of which has 8 subdivisions, and the other of which has 4 subdivisions. It's unclear at this point which one we adopted. I think we should clarify that point.
I believe, Mr. Yoff, it was my intention to adopt the 4 subdivision version of the amendment.
I better find that one. I think it's a good idea to make other committee members aware that that was your intention and make sure it was their intention as well.
Madam Chair, I wasn't aware that both versions of the amendment had been distributed, so perhaps we should ask which version they have before them.
Members, it sounded like only the one with the 8 subdivisions, etc. So if we could get the pages to pass out the other amendments, we have it.
Madam Chair, I believe that the version that we intended is identical to the other one, except that the second page is not included. Mr. Eloff, is that correct?
I believe that is correct.
So, Madam Chair, with that understanding, what I was going to suggest probably needed to be addressed is that the version that was adopted does refer to principles in subdivision 5, which I think needs to be eliminated from the
would you like to delete subdivision 5, 6, 7, 8?
Well, Madam Chair, I would seek advice from Mr. Eloff, but I think that would be appropriate.
I think that's the appropriate motion.
Delete page 2.
Members, does everybody have it? So it is the one with the 8 subdivisions, and Representative Hilty would like to move to delete subdivision 5, subdivision 6, and subdivision 7, and subdivision 8. Is that correct? Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion prevails.
Madam Chair, I think there's still a sentence beginning in line 23 on page 1 of the amendment that needs to be deleted, which would be the one that begins on after the period. The legislation must be based on the principles in subdivision 5, saying that subdivision 5 no longer exists. I would move that amendment to delete that sentence.
Members, is everyone following along? On line 1.23, Representative Hilty speaks to strike. The legislation must be based on the principles in and on 1.24, subdivision 5, period. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails. Representative Hilty.
Well, Madam Chair, hopefully, finally, that is the bill. It, in this form, I believe, has no fiscal implications, and is something that I believe in this form as well. The Department of Commerce has agreed, and I believe the Pollution Control Agency as well, is that this is doable and consistent with the goals we already have in legislation. I do have a further amendment to the bill, Madam Chair, but if there are any questions about this portion of the bill, perhaps we should entertain those first.
Questions, members? So if it doesn't help you, I have a question. So did this move through the Senate already, then?
Yes, Madam Chair. That's my understanding.
Thank you. Would you like to now move the other amendments?
I would, Madam Chair. I think members have the H3661A1 amendment. And, Madam Chair, this is a bill that Representative Atkins, which has passed through the process and is currently on the general register. The reason that we seek to add this to this bill is that although, as far as I know, there is no opposition to the bill in the Senate, time ran out and they were not able to hear the bill in the Senate before the deadline. I do have witnesses that can testify on the bill, and I don't know if Representative Atkins is here, but we can. He is available also if we want to hear from the author of the bill.
Thank you, I believe Commerce is meeting right now, and that is Representative Atkins' committee. Would you like your other questions? Oh, they're done. Yeah. Okay.
Well, Madam Chair, perhaps we should just ask if anyone present wishes to testify for or against the bill, or the amendments, rather.
Is there anybody in the room who would like to testify either in favor or in opposition to this amendment? Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record.
I'm Kevin Ruther, R-E-U-T-H-E-R, from the Minnesota Center for Environmental Advocacy. I don't want to take up a lot of the committee's time, but we did work on the bill with Representative Atkins, so I'd be happy to answer any questions that members have. Just very briefly, the bill takes a first step at starting to study and put in place some regulations to achieve reductions in greenhouse gas emissions from three particular industrial gases. The committee has heard a lot about carbon dioxide emissions, that being the main greenhouse gas that's leading to global warming, but there are a number of other gases as well, and three in particular, which we refer to as superwarmers. In regulation, they're referred to as high potential greenhouse gases or high global warming potential greenhouse gases. And the reason for that is because they're much, much more potent than carbon dioxide. In fact, one of them, sulfur hexafluoride, has a potential of 23,000 times the global warming impact of carbon dioxide. So if you have 1 pound of that stuff, it's like having 11 tons of carbon dioxide. There are four main things that this amendment would do. One is it initiates some reporting so that we can get a handle on where these gases are and where they're coming from. Another is that it would require the Pollution Control Agency to study the gases and to look for substitutes and start to think about how we can reduce emissions from these sources. And then the third and fourth points have to do specifically with refrigerants. Every air conditioner, like the air conditioner in your car or in a grocery store, for example, the refrigerant that's keeping those frozen items cold, the gas that's used in those mechanisms right now is one of these high potential greenhouse gases. It's HFC-134A, I think it's called, and it has a global warming potential of 1,300, so it's 1,300 times as efficient at warming the atmosphere as carbon dioxide. So with regard to air conditioning, what the bill does is it requires, first of all, car manufacturers to post the leakage rates from motor vehicle air conditioners on a website at the AG's consumer website. And then secondly, it would phase out the sale of small cans of auto refrigerants because those are a big source of this refrigerant getting into the atmosphere. And with that, Madam Chair, I'd be happy to answer any questions that members have. Oh, I did bring along a demonstrative, excuse me. I like to show this to people because part of what we're really about
with this bill is educating the public. And this is one of those cans of duster that you may have seen laying around the offices. In fact, I got from our secretary's desk. This has HFC 134A in it, which I would have never known before, you know, starting to work on these issues. So a pound of the stuff that's in here is equal to 1,300 pounds of CO2, or a half a ton.
Thank you. Representative
Hathaway. Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, Representative Hilty, I was going to vote for your bill, but I don't know if we put this thing on there if I can vote for it. We did see this Representative Atkins bill in the bill in the Environment Committee. Maybe your testifier can tell me how much of this freon-type gas actually is contributing to the greenhouse gas problem. I mean, what is the main source of our greenhouse gas problem as opposed to this? I mean, I think this is a pretty minute portion of our greenhouse gas problem. And didn't, you know, a number of years ago we were using R12 in automobiles, and we found that probably wasn't the right thing to be using, so we had to go to the R134. And I thought that was supposed to be more environmentally friendly. And that's why we went to that, and that's why we were mandated to do so. So maybe you can explain some of those things to me, and why we need this now.
Mr. Ruther.
Madam Chair and members, thank you. Those are good questions, Representative. And I did bring along fact sheet and some graphs that I think might be helpful if I could have those passed out. In particular, I wanted you to have this in your hands because I'll hold it up so that you can see while you're getting your copy. You're correct, Representative Hackworth, that this the global warming caused by these gases is not nearly as large as what's being caused by carbon dioxide, and that certainly is the main gas. And I think that as you and the legislature have been studying this and taking action, it's pretty much been focused on carbon dioxide, which in fact is one of the reasons that we are supporting this bill, because it takes us outside of the realm of just the electric sector and brings in some of the other sectors that are causing problems. In answer to your question, we don't know exactly what percentage these gases are contributing to the problem, and that's one of the reasons that we want to start the reporting, so that we can get a sense for, is it 3%? Is it 13%? It's probably lower than 10%. But again, they're very powerful, and just a little bit of them makes a huge difference. And the other important aspect here is that there are substitutes available. So as you said, we had CFCs that were depleting the ozone layer. This new gas, the HFC 134A that I've been referring to as the refrigerant, was a replacement for those ozone depleting substances. And it turns out that substitute is problematic now with regard to global warming, and so a number of companies are working on replacements for that, and in fact there are some substitutes available, and in many instances they're cheaper. So what the bill does is allows the PCA to study what's out there and come back and make recommendations for regulations in the future or suggestions. What I'm showing you in this graph, and I don't know if you have a copy in front of you yet, is that while this is a small, fairly small portion of the overall greenhouse gases, you can see that it's projected to have a very steep increase. And so that would be one of the reasons also that we want to start to get a handle on these gases.
Representative Hathaway.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. And I find it ironic that the testifier says that these replacements are going to be cheaper. Having been working in the automotive industry for many, many years, the R12 was a lot cheaper, and when we had to go to the R134, it just skyrocketed. It was about four times as expensive, maybe even more. And I can't believe that this is going to make this whole issue very, very expensive to do. Everything we do in this committee, Representative Hilty, is causing everything to be more expensive. I can understand if we actually make some progress in doing some good things and putting a stop to some of these things, but everything we do is just making things more expensive. It's not really solving any problems. I'd have to vote no on the amendment, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Further questions, members? Mr. Reuter, did you want to say something?
Well, Madam Chair, I just should make clear that the amendment and Representative Atkinsville doesn't actually require anything to happen at this point. It's mainly setting up a study for PCA to be able to determine whether there are cheaper substitutes, and then those would be recommended later. I also failed to mention that this idea was, it came directly out of the governor's planning process, which I know you've heard a lot about, the climate change advisory group, and it was one of the suggestions that was unanimously adopted by that group. They actually proposed rulemaking. We're not proposing rulemaking here because of the budget constraints, but instead have gone with a study.
Representative Helping, do you want to say something?
Madam Chair, no, I would just renew my motion that the A1 amendment be adopted.
Representative Hilty renews his motion that the A1 amendment be adopted. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
The motion prevails. Further discussion to the bill? Is there anybody else in the audience who would care to testify, either in favor or against? Any last words, Representative Hilty?
Not yet. Not exactly. I think that we've had sufficient discussion of the bill, and I would just renew my motion that House File 3661 as amended be recommended to pass and referred to the Committee on Finance.
All in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
The motion prevails.
Thank you. Madam Chair, thank you. If you would indulge me for a moment, I would just say that I believe at this point that our budget target has been distributed at least to the minority lead on the committee, and I thank you, Mr. Marble. If you don't have it, I think it's probably in your email. And we will be taking up the budget bill next week. Madam Chair, if you wish to adjourn the committee, that would be fine with me.
Okay, Representative Hackworth.
Where did we pass that bill to? The floor?
No, I believe
finance.
It's finance.
Part of the finance. Okay.
Yeah. Seeing no further discussion, this meeting is adjourned.